This is Cats Podcast, episode number 24. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning back in. Today, I want to start with a question for you. What's your validation? What gives you validation in regards to your work? And how do you define success? Think about that for a minute, because that's part of what we are going to talk about today. I'm having Julie Guile on my show today. She's a photographer from Wisconsin in the US, and it's her mission to fuel personal connection between business owners and their clients. We talk about the value of connection and why making your brand better instead of bigger might be a big win for your life and happiness in general. We talk about building a brand and a business based on you, your own personal story, your passion or purpose. And Julie fills us in on how she approaches capturing the people behind the brands in an authentic way. For her, one of the key questions is, what makes your brand different to others and how can we transport that visually? We also look at success and productivity in a new light, and that's where my questions come back in. Looking at success and productivity in new ways, you will see that there are actually many forms of success and that growth is not the only factor for success. And I'm very happy to bring this conversation out, because this is what we need. We need a new form of business where we nurture the relationships, where we nurture the relationships with our clients, and where we have the focus on our very own brand values and passions. And we gotta step back from the bigger, faster, always more mentality. It's what we need to really bring about change in this world. You probably feel I'm very passionate about that, and that's what my podcast is also really here for, to show that there are different ways of living and doing and thinking, and that we don't have to always follow the mainstream. And what makes it also interesting is that this new approach to business, as outlined by Julie, has also the potential to help us better deal with the economic challenges around the current crisis. Needless to say that this episode is for anyone building up their own small business or owning a small business, for anyone having a business built on their own story and experience. And it's also for solopreneurs and those of you who've always struggled with advice from coaches and business books. And this is really, I really want to point this out, because this is not your average brand story talk. Julie herself, she is diving deep into her own story, and she's really sharing more than most of us will ever share. She's a woman of courage and a true believer in connection, both values we direly need these days. I'm very honored to have her on my show. Tune in, listen closely, and continue to build deeper connections.
Aware is long, but I see them sitting in front of television for a lot longer. I see them soaking in the noise. You know, at some point in their life, they had no other way to get information. Like, I'm thinking about like my parents and like our older neighbors. They didn't have any other way to get information. So they're very, very loyal to a television and the media. And it's just, they have shut off their intuition.
That's an interesting point. And especially media is something that has been a big thing for me over the past years, in the way that I really disconnected myself from the mass media. I feel too that there's still too much focus on the mass media. That's what I think. And
yeah, and they have a vested interest in getting you hooked as well on fear and more consuming and being reliant upon them. I mean, they have a vested interest financially in getting you that way. So
yeah, like all big conglomerates or I don't know, industries, pharmacy slash health, food industry. And yeah, I know. And this is, for me, this is really, that goes into the core of empowerment. I've just posted something where it says, well, we don't even have to wander into the realm of politics. We can look in our daily lives. We get packaged food or just ready-made food because we've forgotten to cook, how to cook. And see, we listen to the main media, but don't listen to ourselves and feel what's going on inside us. And if you're able to go into these little things in your daily life, that's, I guess, where it really starts, that you can empower yourself. And
yes, it's a really good book called The Culture of Fear. And it talks all about how much fear can addict you and how much fear can compel you to buy things to protect yourself or compel you to buy things to stock up, to, you know, conserve yourself, and how fear is used so much to control people on a large scale.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So, yes. Tuning out, tuning in.
That's a good good introduction. So I already pressed record because I like to ease into these interviews. So yeah. Welcome to my podcast, Julie. I'm super happy to have you here today.
Thank you. This is really exciting. We've been in the talks with this for a while, and it's just, the time is just right, I think.
I think so too. And I love that you see it that way as well, because this is something that I feel, but that I've also very, very appreciated from the side of my guests, that when they come on here, it feels right for them too. Yeah. And some of them, they've postponed the podcast recording because they said, oh, actually, I'm not in the right energy at the moment, especially talking about freedom. There were a few that said, oh, I can't do it right now. I have to be in a better or freer place again. And this is actually interesting. So I think it's really all about feeling into ourselves and seeing, is this a good time or not? And I'm happy that it feels right for both of us.
Yes, that's a great point. Yes, it does, definitely.
So you're here today talking about, well, how do we phrase it? We could say playing small, yes. Or we could say making your brand and yourself, I guess, better instead of bigger. So before we dive into that and what this really means, tell us a little bit about yourself. So where do you live? What do you do? Where are you at the moment?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for the nice introduction. So I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin in the USA, which is right in the center in the Midwest of the United States. So it's a town of about 100,000 people. So it's relatively small, and it's really surrounded by farmland. So it's quiet here. It's definitely not a city atmosphere at all. It's pretty fascinating because the culture here is really run on small businesses. It's really run on handshakes, and it's run on relationships. It's run on people. It's not run on, you know, media and advertising and, you know, mass sales. There's not a lot of box stores here. It's a very different kind of economy built on small businesses. So yes, I am a wife and a mom of two little boys who are 3 and 6, and they are not in school because we are in a pandemic currently. So our house and my husband and I are flexing all sorts of ways to keep them occupied and educated and entertained. So wow. I am able. Yes, yes, that's fun.
If you so can only have see you the had floor. A have you had a break? Did they go to school over summer, or, well, not over summer, but I don't know, end of summer, or did you have them at home since March?
Oh yeah, no, they went to school for a month in September, but otherwise they've been home forever. which wow. I think just now I'm appreciating a lot. In the summer, we were outside running and, you know, doing adventures and going to the lake and doing fun things. And now, I mean, the cooler weather is coming, so we're just finding new ways to kind of settle into each other and shift the energy in the house so it's not so wild, a little more cozy, and that's been fun to play with, actually.
But what you said before about the season and now autumn, I guess that might come kind of naturally.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I've been lighting a candle every night for dinner for the past week, and last night I forgot, and my son was like, "Mom," and he pointed to the candle, like, "Oh, so they like the cozy too, you know? They're getting into it now, and they're sleeping in later, which is amazing." And everybody's kind of just embracing the cozy. I love that.
Oh, I love that. I'm a big cozy fan. And I'm also, I need a candle for dinner. It kind of calms me down and sets the tone for dinner. And yeah. So I can relate to that.
It was neat to see them following suit because I thought that was just me that liked it. So, you know, reminder that your energy sets a tone for a lot of things. So yes, yeah. I'm a brand photographer. So here in the Green Bay area and also Milwaukee and regionally, and then people also ship me products that I photograph for their brand. And the big part of what I love about that is really digging into what makes a brand, what makes your brand different, and how do you connect with your people, and how do we represent that visually through photography? So it's not just the standard stock photos of, you know, hands on a keyboard or things like that everybody's doing. It's how do we really connect the meaning of what you're doing with your people? So there's a whole strategy involved with that as well. Mm. But that definitely leads to the quality over quantity subject that I think we were going to really dive into today is when you're getting involved with people's personal brands, especially, there's a lot in there. And a lot of times that personal fuel to build a personal brand comes from sometimes a dark place, sometimes a place of hurt that you've grown from. So these conversations can get really personal with people. So quality over quantity is really become important.
And you've also touched on the meaning, which deep down touches on purpose, I guess, and on what you really want to do and what you're meant to be, I guess. And that's probably also why when you're talking to them, in some instances, you might go really deep. And
exactly. So when I my mom was actually dying of cancer, which is the first time I really truly picked up a camera to do something purposeful with it. I didn't know what else to do. She was living in her house. I was pregnant with my second son. It was a tough, tough time to try to figure out how to be present without falling apart. So I actually picked up a camera and started photographing little details like her blue eyes and the wrinkles on her hands and, you know, her hands touching my first son and how they would, like, she'd cuddle underneath the covers and, you know, let him watch TV and stuff like that with her, or just photographing all those little moments, how she kissed his head. And I felt like part of me could keep what was going on and part of me could be present without falling apart emotionally. And that's kind of when I really fell in love with storytelling with a camera. It was a pretty, pretty powerful thing. So when I talk with people about stories, it's neat to see where their stories come from, because a lot of personal brands develop from a place of, I will say, learning or growth or passion or out of something that changed them.
And I guess that's what sets them apart to, I don't know, bigger companies or maybe some more small brands. Could also be products. I was just thinking maybe more product-based brands or companies. Yeah, it's always so intertwined with our own story.
Yes.
And I guess that's what makes it on one hand so cool and there's so much depth behind it. And on the other hand, it makes it so, or us so vulnerable because we talk about it.
Right. Right. It does. It's very, a very vulnerable feeling. Even for myself, I spent a certain amount of time really running away from my story as well. And just trying to be this amazing, you know, photographer and really not embracing my own story. And once I started embracing it, just things kept falling into place that made so much more sense and felt more authentic to me. And I feel like that's how a lot of smaller businesses can compete on a bigger level, is by telling their story, by connecting their story. Because that's the reason you'd buy something from a smaller company, is because of connection versus, you know, a larger box store. So I aim to tell those stories, to dig into them. I mean, I've had clients who've started businesses because of child loss, you know, and really deep things that drive them forward. It's neat to see. And then people connect with that.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's was, that are the things that are touching ourselves or part of ourselves. And it's actually so cool to talk about it. And we both read this quote the other day. I have it here. It says, "Your story is the gift connecting who you really are to who others really are."
Yes.
And I love it. And that quote also inspired me or motivated me to share more of my stuff or keep doing that, because I see my limits until where I want to share and where I'm like, oh, should I say that or not? So I'm really contemplating, and it can be hard. So how do you and your clients deal with that?
That's interesting. So you kind of got to follow the flow of where they want to go and really just encourage and give a safe space for them to open up about it. I like to ask a lot of questions about how did you, you know, the clients that they love to serve, the people that they love to serve, the audience they love to talk about, because a lot of times that'll give me a big clues as to who they are inside, because that's who they're connecting with as well. So yeah, it's an interesting process, and just giving space and giving room for that story to happen. There's a lot of photographers who can get a great image, you know, in a 20-minute or 15-minute session, but you're not going to get a story out of that. So you have to actually plan for the time for that comfort level to happen. And then when you plan for that time, there's space for a more genuine picture to develop as well. So it's kind of twofold.
Just writing that down, because this is so good. So how do you usually work? So you have like a strategy call and a branding check before your photo shoots. So do you usually take a full day for a client, or just so we know?
Yeah, well, it depends on what their need is, but definitely we'll do like a 30-minute discovery call and kind of feel out what you're looking for. Are you looking for, you know, just an Instagram post material? Are you looking to redo a website? What's the story that you want to tell, and is it a good fit? And then once we decide to work together, we plan like an entire hour-long call where we go through, you know, are you going to be launching a product soon? Are you going to be doing a webinar? You know, who are you talking to? Are you talking to athletic people? So that's the type of shoot we're going to do. Or are you talking to mothers? Is that the type of shoot that we're going to do? Like, how do we create images to connect? So we look at what your current brand is made of, what your highest engagement is and where it is, and what type of platforms you're going to be utilizing this content on. And then we just build from there. We talk about what you're going to wear, how you're going to do your hair and makeup. And that actually has a lot to do with it, because if you're really looking for connection, you want to make that authentic. You're not going to want to get way above and beyond in a formal gown if you're looking to make connections with people on a more genuine level. So there's little tips and tricks on I always tell people about 10% more than what they're doing on a daily basis when they meet with a client. So 10% more makeup, 10% more hair, 10% more wardrobe, but don't be getting, you know, way out of whack for your professional wheelhouse. But yeah, we go through all of that and I make a shot list and I make a prop list and we have an entire flow that's all set up and create a place or a series of places that we can shoot that represent you authentically.
And I've seen you. Sorry, you go.
Thank you. I was just saying, then we plan a date and we usually do a shoot that involves a couple different locations, usually a couple personal locations. I just did a really great shoot for a brand that ended up doing these shoots in her home, in the CEO's home. And it really went from like a corporate stuffy feel in their catalogs and their social media to a really personal, really home connected, really genuine feel, which actually they loved tremendously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm going for is creating that genuine representation.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen lots of the pictures you shot on Instagram. And so for anyone listening, I will link to your Instagram in the show notes so you can hop on there and have a look. And to me, they are all really beautiful and genuine. You used that word before, and that's what it is. And if I had you here where I'm living, I would do a shoot with you right away because the pictures really speak to us. You really get a feel for the person who is standing for a certain brand. And I guess that's what you want, at least when you're a solopreneur or someone who's building a business up. Yeah.
It's a really neat feeling. One of my favorite parts of it is showing the pictures to, you know, the brand, because they all of a sudden see their brand in a completely different light. They feel like they've been almost vindicated is kind of the feeling that just keeps coming up. Like, yes, like you see me, this is real. This is authentic. Like, yes, this, I am doing this. You know, I am really genuinely connecting. Like it just to people, it feels very, very real on a different level than they've never seen themselves before.
So what was the aha moment for you and telling your own story? When did you see yourself in a different light? Was there like a particular moment or was it more like a process?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I kind of felt like because I picked up a camera when my mom passed away, that I should immediately only be doing family portraits because that would only make sense with that story. But I just didn't love doing the family portraits at all. I think the aha moment was I was looking for a way for my brand to represent me more authentically.
So your photography brand.
Yes. I was looking for, because I felt like, okay, it's my mom died. I picked up a camera. I should be photographing moms. I'm a mom. Like that all makes sense to me, but it didn't feel right for me. So I just really was searching for a way. How does this feel right for me? And the brands, especially when I moved to Green Bay, there was so much more that needed to be told for these brands and myself as well. Like, how do I connect myself and my story with other brands? That was my aha moment. I was like, I love families, but I have a family. So I'm kind of burned out by the family energy a lot, but being in a professional wheelhouse and telling a story in a documentary style feels really good to me. It feels authentic that you can create a brand based on really who you are. And I guess when I started doing that, I felt better about my brand and I started getting more traction, started making better connections and felt like I could do the same for other brands. So yeah, it was really in a search to find my own voice that I had the aha moment.
So do you like to dive deeper into your story? Tell us a little bit more about that. Or maybe at a different place and time.
Sure. Yes. So I think a big change for me personally came when my brother had a pretty rough incident. He was going through a pretty messy divorce, and he ended up going after his former wife at the time. He stabbed her multiple times, and he tried to kill himself. And it was a very big, big moment for all of us because we never saw it coming. We were very close, and everybody ended up surviving, but it was a pretty messy, dark time in our entire family's life. There was a lot of it spilled out in the media. My brother has three children. They were, in the mix of it all. I think everything in like my solid foundation shattered, and I immediately clammed up for quite a long time and felt like I didn't want to talk to anybody about that story. I didn't want anyone to judge me because, my gosh, he was my brother. I should have known. You know, obviously I'm not a great sister or a great person because I didn't know. Took me a long time to try to get through that. A lot of therapy. And I felt like the more I could talk about that story and see other people's genuine reactions of how in the heck did you survive that? Or how did you get through that? Or how did you, people genuine reaction, they didn't turn away from me. They didn't think that I was the problem. I think there was so much more compassion. It just kind of gave me strength. And I'm talking probably like 4 years ago that happened. So it's taken a lot of baby steps to get to a point to embrace that part of the story.
Yeah, I can imagine. That must be super hard.
Yeah, super hard. A lot of forgiveness, a lot of grace and space, and process. Right. I'm definitely not through all that, but it's just a piece of it. And then losing my mom not long after that, so it was like everything just burned to the ground. Everything. In a corporate job. Yeah, I was in a corporate job at the time that I actually loved, but I couldn't fit back into that. I just couldn't have my life look the same. So that was really, I mentioned I picked up a camera when my mom was passing, and then when my brother's incident happened as well, I'd happened to sign up for a photography class at the time, like an online photography class. And I remember it started 2 or 3 days after my brother's incident. And I was so numb. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't feel anything because there was so much. And the prompt for the day for the photography class was walk 200 feet in one direction outside in the woods and stop and turn north, south, east, west, and compose a photo with whatever's in front of you. And I remember just standing there and feeling like, okay, I can't feel anything right now because I might explode or implode or both. I'm not sure, but I can exist in nature with this camera and still create something. Like I can still create. Mm-hmm. This is another language. I say like it felt like I had a snorkel that I could finally breathe above the water, but I was still underwater. So the camera just became like a space for me to connect, right?
And to connect, breathe.
Breathe. Mm-hmm. Exist. And in times of trouble, like it, times of stress, times of grief, times of trial, it has really just given me a pipeline or a snorkel to breathe. And then I've just started to see that with the people that I come in contact with time and time again, the reoccurring theme that there is a connection there that is happening. And I think because of everything I've gone through, a connection means a lot to me. It does. And I had this talk with my husband not too long ago. I was like, I feel like I should have like spreadsheets and, profit and loss, stuff for my business and goals, like financially targets or something like that. But it doesn't feel right. And he's like, Julie, your currency is connection. That helps you feel solid. If you have one client with a great connection that refers you, that means more to you than 25 clients. And I just looked at him and was so grateful that somebody understood and could mirror that back to me so I could see it. But that is so true. And that's really where the better, not bigger, came from, because I've worked with some coaches. I've been in some masterminds, and it's all about bigger. It's all about scaling up, and it's all about driving and pushing and working the late hours. And it's all about more profit and creating methods and streamlines in your business to keep your customers further away from you. If your customer has a problem, they should call a help desk. Or if your customer has an issue, they can have like an online bot they can chat with or whatever. You know, it's creating space between you and your customer, and really, really encourage people to ask yourself, is that what you want?
Sometimes the connection is a bit, so we're overlapping here when we're talking. I love that you're saying that like this. I mean, because that's something that I feel too. When I think when I'm creating, and whatever it is that I'm building up now, but when I'm creating and when I'm doing that, I'm very, I would say, spontaneous, and I really tune in into what I feel, how it feels, what I want to bring out there. And when I sometimes I look to like advice or come across advice, and they say, well, you have to structure those Instagram posts, or you have to do this or that. And every time I try to do that, it kind of suffocates my creativity, and it doesn't feel aligned. And that's why I'm so happy to talk about you with this, because there must be a different way.
Yeah, thank you. The one blog post I've had that's been had the far and beyond the most downloads is why I played small this year and won big. Because I go into it in kind of detail in the blog a little bit, but it's saying one of the reasons I said was diapers. Diapers is why I played small this year and won big, because my three-year-old is, you know, at the time I wrote the blog, was in diapers, and he's not going to be in diapers very long, right? And I don't, yes, that's messy and terrible. And no, I don't like changing poopy diapers, but it's a mark of time is passing, and I don't want to miss that. There are other things in life worth savoring besides, you know, building a massive empire that keeps me further away from the things that matter. And I just don't see that being talked about enough. And I don't see that being validated enough. I think more and more people that I talk to and connect with on that story level feel that way, but don't feel validated in saying it. Like, there's value in success. There's value in hustle. There's value in being busy. Yes, there is. But you just have to ask if that keeps you closer or further from the things that are important, the things that fuel you.
Yes, I think so too. It's the question is this productivity mindful or not? Is it bringing you closer to where you want to be, or is it helping you to stay in your desired state or not?
Right. Yes. So the concept of being better instead of bigger became really, really important to me. And it's just something that I kind of check back myself with all the time. Like, is this making me better or not bigger? You know, if I drive down to a client's house to really make that personal connection, and even though it's an hour and a half away, does this make this better, not bigger? You know, it's taking those extra personal touches. Like, I emailed a client this morning that her daughter's getting married this weekend. I just sent her a little note and was like, you know what, as parents, we put so much into our children. We never know if we're going to get it out. Well, I hope that you take a moment at this wedding and step back and see all the things that you nurtured to get your daughter to this point. You know, that's what it's about. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what makes you feel less lonely in the world. That's what makes you feel more grounded in the world. That's what makes you feel connected, is thinking about people and genuinely caring.
Yeah, that's so nice. And I think connection is the buzzword here. And it, for me, it's very topical because first we're in the times of, well, with lockdown and now, I don't know, COVID numbers going up or not, but at least the politics are that we have to stay home. It's so we're connecting more over the internet, but I kind of feel we're in a little bit maybe in a crisis of connection. I don't know, maybe we're not. But so connection is definitely a topic that comes up a lot at the moment. And the other aspect why I think that better instead of bigger and nourishing what you have and expanding that is so important because it really points into a new direction of economy and business. And I believe we have to think more into that direction if we really want to bring about change and create a better world, because we've seen that it doesn't work like always like going faster and bigger and higher and striving for more and more and more. No, we have to create or focus on other values or core goals.
Yes, I like how you put that, nourishing what you have. I mean, that's a really important concept. Like, I would really talk to my my brands and I say, so if you look back at, you know, your list of your best clients, right? Or your most favorite projects that you've done, where did those leads come from? And 99% of the time, myself included, they came from personal connection. Mm. So people spend a lot of time, you know, throwing a bunch of stuff out on social media and throwing a bunch of seeds out there to see what might happen to grow. But what would happen if you just nurtured what you have, nurture the people that already know and trust you? What would happen if you nurtured them? I mean, this is just me, but how many times have you gotten something from your cell phone company or your bank that's like, oh, you know, $300 bonus if you open a new account? It's like, but I've had an account with you for 25 years. How come I don't get a bonus? You know what I mean? And that's the same concept. It's like, what if you nurtured the people that you have?
Mm-hmm. So true. So if like growth isn't the clear direction we're going for, what are the other success strategies? How do you find success along new lines, I would say?
That's a great question. So a couple things come to mind. One would be success is in people feeling comfortable with you. Success is in people trusting you with their story. Success is in people valuing your work enough to share it and then find their own success with it, because that ultimately pays back to you. Success is also in reaching your goal, whatever that might be professionally, reaching that goal. Maybe you reach that goal in August and then you say, you know what? I mean, I can enjoy the success right now, and it's August, and maybe I can take some time or reduce my client load in the next couple months and really enjoy and savor the autumn or the fall or, you know, the holidays or whatever it is. You can measure that on your own, but just being able to say, okay, I met my goal and now I can step back and enjoy the life that I made. I think that's a really, really, really important part of nourishing what you have. This was the life you created. This was the goal you wanted. You don't necessarily have to double it. That doesn't mean success. Success could mean taking a month off after that.
Hmm. Such a good one.
Yes. Right. Yeah. That's where you find that time. Man, and I just wish if I had a megaphone and I could just share that with some, you know, some people that I know drive for the sake of driving themselves. Mm. Mm. They hustle for the sake of hustle because they don't know how to slow down and enjoy what they have. And then they're just trapped in this hamster wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think now is the exact right time to talk about it. I mean, not that there wasn't a time before or we shouldn't have talked about it before, but I think now being in this crazy COVID pandemic situation and lots of us suddenly being in a home office or shifting the ways they work, it's really a time to think about foundational stuff So how do I work? Why do I work? It's interesting. I talked to a few former colleagues, and one of them, she was telling me, you know what, sitting in a home office all day, all week, I'm asking myself, why do I do this? Where's the purpose of this work? And I was like, huh, there we get to the point, finally. And so actually, that's my wish, that these kind of questions, thoughts come up more often, and we are finally able to make shifts. And I also loved what you said about maybe your form of success is taking a month off or two, and or spending more time with your children, you know, we're just working the morning and having the afternoon off. And this is really pointing to a shift in priorities. And I'm a big fan of that. I've had a pretty flexible lifestyle for the past, well, almost 10 years now. And I see that there are more currencies out there. And I loved how you phrased that. Yet currency, your currency is connection. And there's also other currencies out there, if you want to put it that way. You can have time off, or you can have, time with your family, or you have time for self-care and well-being and health, which is super crucial. So, thank you for all the work that you're doing, actually. And we're bringing this out now, so there will be people listening up and hopefully tuning in more.
Oh, my goodness. I hope that there's, you know, at least one person that realizes that there's a different way, that you're validated in having success away from the hustle and the drive, that being better, not bigger, is a real way that you can have a successful business and treat people.
Mm. So what were things that are that were coming up more often during lockdown over those past months for your clients? Were there like certain questions or aspects that were popping up more often and that you you're working through, or is there stuff that really helps them to thrive the way they want?
That's a great question. I think during lockdown, I definitely saw a trend of people coming to me and saying, like, I used to connect with people when they came into the store all the time, and now they can't come into the store. What do I do? Like, how do I transition my business where I connected, you know, physically in person with people? How do I transition that now in the pandemic when I can't have people in the store? So that created a lot of great conversations about how do you connect your story? I had a really interesting client a couple weeks ago that was a mother-daughter team in a male-dominated industry, and they were looking to connect their industry online because they can't do it in person anymore. So creating a series of images that would speak to a male audience, a male-dominated field of two females, was fantastic. Wow. And just actually fascinating. But they were like, well, we can't connect in person. How do we connect online to a male-dominated industry? That was fascinating. And those pictures, I'll have to release those pretty soon. But yes, that was interesting. But that definitely came up for a lot of people. So we need to connect in different ways. Like, they still yearn for the connection. We just have to do it in different ways. How do we do it? How do we do it? So right. And that's, a lot comes back to the story.
Yeah, and I guess that's where your work is so important, where it's more important than ever. Because especially online, you just have to have pictures or videos. But yeah, pictures are crucial, I guess.
Yeah, and there's a whole psychology in pictures and in consuming information and having them be simple, having clean edges, scroll-stopping images, have minimal information so your mind can consume them faster. They can read the image faster. A lot of people read images from left to right. There's a lot of psychology involved in that too. So it's fun to play all those pieces together and really, really get the story out there in a way that people can consume it simply. Because again, when we're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, we tend to stop on images that are simpler and easier for our brain to read.
Mm. Mm. That reminds me of the white space, which they recommend for Instagram to have some white space in there. So you can probably speak to that, or it's going in the same direction, right?
I feel like I crave that just because of all the noise going on in the world. I feel like I crave white space. I mean, look at the wall behind me. It's completely white in our office. Like, yes, I crave white space. I like short bundles. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's interesting. Last year I posted a few really just only white squares on Instagram, and I got even a few reactions on it. So maybe I'll post one and I dedicate it to you.
Yes, I like that. Let me know. I will watch to see how that goes. But yes, white space is definitely psychological rest.
Yes. Yeah. So what would you say if someone listening now and they say, oh my gosh, you're speaking from my heart. This is what I'm feeling. I'm not the type of like go, 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 grow, 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 but I really want to play with what I have, you know, use the connections and deepen them. But I don't know, where do I start? So do you have any tips?
Yeah, a couple different tips, actually. One thing to nourish what you have, I would step aside for a second, and I would make a list of your top five favorite clients, jobs, projects, whatever it is. Make a list of your top five favorites, and then list a couple reasons, just a couple short reasons as to why they were your favorite. Is it because they trusted you? Is it because they let you be creative? Is it because you got to travel with that job? Whatever it is that makes that particular project your favorite, write it down, and then really reach back to that client and have a conversation with them. Tell them what you liked about the project, tell them what you enjoyed, and then continue to nurture that relationship. See if there's an opportunity to do something more and just grow your business based on the things that worked really well for you and the things that drove your passion. Instead of throwing seeds out to people that don't know you and trying to find brand new people and really spending your energy throwing 10,000 seeds out and maybe getting five, what if you just went back to the people that already know and trust you and started to nurture those relationships? So that's what I would really encourage. So even if you went to your email list or went to your previous client list and wrote a boilerplate email and then customized it with a few different sentences to that specific client and said, hey, you know, autumn is here. I've been thinking about you and your family. I hope everything is going well in the lockdown. And just reaching out to say, you know, I really appreciated working with you. It was some of my most favorite work that we did together. Curious what next year looks like for you. I'd love to chat about a new opportunity. Well, that's wonderful. You could even do that with a phone call. I mean, depending on how close you know that client or what your time permits, you could even do that with a phone call. I mean, even if that client isn't going to do new work with you, maybe they'll say, hey, you know what, Kat, I think I know somebody that would love to work with you if you're looking for something happening in fall. That's what you're looking for by saying nurturing. It's not that you're not going to grow. It's just that you're going to nurture what you have instead of, you know, spending that 20 minutes that it takes to make a phone call to somebody that already knows and trusts you, spending 20 minutes to create two Instagram posts that are going to go out to see if who knows what and be noise for more than half of those people. So that would be my number one tip, is to create a list of your favorites and then find a way to customize a reach out to them and see what they have coming up this year. Maybe you can be a part of it.
I like that. And you know what? It actually reminds me of my experience sometimes as well. So take this podcast, for example. Yes. So promoting it on a platform like Instagram or LinkedIn, it sometimes is successful, sometimes not so much. But when I send it in a personal note, be it via email or WhatsApp or on Facebook Messenger, there's much more resonance. That's what I'm seeing. And yes, it takes maybe 20 minutes more, but it's also, it's worth it. So in the end, it's way more efficient, right?
Yes, right. In the end, it's more efficient. And that's the thing. You've already done the work for this client. The second yes is easier than the first, right? So reaching back to somebody personally, we're all in some form of lockdown. We're all in some form of social isolation. So even now, more than ever, making that connection means more to people than ever. I really, really encourage you to just start there. Even if you started with 5 clients, then, you know, next month, do 5 more. Depending on your time, do it next week if it's really working well for you. But just don't overlook the people that you've already put your time and effort into. You've already impressed them. Start there.
You've already earned their trust as well. Yeah, that's... And I think it's a place where anyone really could start, no matter what they're doing.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think so. You know, I've been in, like I said, in with coaches and masterminds that are totally different than that. They push you to kind of throw yourself out there, be vulnerable, and then just kind of see who gravitates towards that. But I was like, kept thinking to myself, it's like petting a cat backwards. Like, that just didn't feel right. It didn't feel right to me, because if you're really genuinely making a connection with somebody, by doing it like that, they're making that connection with you first. Yeah. Without you even knowing, which seems odd.
Yeah. Right? True. And it's really against what everyone is recommending out there.
Yeah.
Right. But I love that idea, and especially if it makes you feel right. And I guess that's where our gut is telling us so, so much. That's at least my experience, that when I'm not sure if I want to do something and then I finally do it, if it doesn't resonate, I feel it more or less instantly. It's like, it doesn't feel right. So, yeah. I love that. It's like, okay, guys out there, trust yourself more.
Yes, I have, and even product-based businesses. Some people might be saying, oh, but I have a product-based business and volume is key. Okay, well, let's take a look at that. So I have a really good friend who owns her own beauty care line, and she writes a custom note every time, a handwritten note every time she sends out a package. And 9 times out of 10, she'll kind of look at my previous order and see maybe that I ordered the deep sleep aromatherapy a couple months ago, but I haven't ordered it in a while. So she'll just like include one and be like, you know what? I really appreciate you and all your support of my business. And I mean, that means a ton. And you never, I mean, nurturing that existing client, that's where it's at. And then now, of course, I'm going to be ordering that next time. And of course, I'm going to be talking about her on a podcast because she's amazing. And, you know, you never know where those connections lead, but nurture what you have. Nurture what you have. Somebody that already knows you, already trusts you, already likes your product. I mean, it works for product-based businesses too. It might be slower, but I think it will pay dividends bigger and faster than throwing the seeds out there and just waiting to see what happens.
Yeah. And it might actually be the base for a real long-term connection. So you're really building something lasting up here and not something like, okay, there's someone who buys from you one time, but not again.
Right. Exactly. Yes. I mean, if you're just looking for volume, it's a churn and burn with no personal connection. Yeah. What if you change that?
I love that. And I love this conversation. This is so good.
Yeah, it's just not supported, I feel like, enough for business owners. And 9 times out of 10, when I talk to people about this, they're like, yes, you know, now, especially I have kids at home and I have, you know, I'm working late hours, you know, how am I supposed to keep up? And it's like, well, maybe you don't keep up. Maybe you keep you and you dial her back and nurture the really good things that you have. Instead of working at 2 a.m. to put your Instagram post together.
Yeah, and that's the important thing, because then we're like going into health and well-being again. It's like, that's so important. That's your major currency in the end, what it comes down to. So if you're not functioning well, if you're not feeling well, you can forget the rest. So
yes, your major currency, that topic comes up again. Yes, you're right. That currency, currency of your health is the one thing.
So many good other currencies than money, hey?
I know. It's true.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else? Oops, sorry, you go.
Oh, if anybody is interested too, there's a really, really good book called The Company of One that speaks to this very strong. And it's by Paul Jarvis.
Okay, I'll include it in the show notes.
Yes. And he speaks to a lot of these nourishing what you have concepts, but he doesn't just talk about solopreneurs. He talks about larger companies too, like Patagonia is one that he mentions in there. Base Company is another one that he mentions. Some larger companies just running on this concept of not always striving to scale up. So if anyone's interested, that's a wonderful place to start researching more about this and really getting some more ammunition on your side of taking care of yourself and building a business based on you, not based on hustle.
So important. And I think this is really the future.
Yeah, it is. I do feel like I constantly have to check myself, though, to keep in that pattern. You know, I have an opportunity for a mentorship protege program coming up with some larger companies here in the area. And I'm like, okay, so when this comes to fruition, I'm going to have to be very, very, very honest with them that I'm not looking to make myself into a large corporation. So it'll be interesting to see how that resonates with them.
Keep me in the loop.
Yeah, I'm interested in making a better business, not a bigger business. So is that something that they're willing to support or not? I'm going to be interested to see if it happens. I try to blow the lid off that one.
Yeah, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
So is there anything else on this topic that we haven't touched on yet?
Let's see. I would really just echo that being better instead of bigger also keeps yourself closer to the reason why you fell in love with your business. And that, I find that topic coming out time and time again as you're get bigger, you get busier, you hire more people, you get yourself, you put more things in between you and what you love doing. But being better streamlines you back into what you love most about your business, which is what I try to really, really talk to brands about when I shoot for them. Why did you fall in love with this in the first place? Was it doing the taxes? No. Was it doing the spreadsheets? No. Was it... No. So what is it that you fell in love with in the first place? And let's get your company built around you doing more of that.
I love that. And I think it's such a good thing to remind us of, like, constantly or on a regular basis and check in with us. And I remember reading one of your posts where you were talking about that and you said, so sometimes people you work with, they have forgotten why they fell in love with it. And then you kind of rekindle this and you see that spark in their eyes and all that passion coming back. And I just found that so fascinating.
It is. It's really interesting when you pull back and let them see those pictures. They do. They remember why they fell in love with this business in the first place. A lot of it actually seems to have to do with hands for some reason, like their hands being involved in things and seeing that personalization of you know, getting your hands dirty. It's very symbolic for most of the clients that I've worked with. Is getting their hands dirty was the reason they got involved in this job. That personal touch, and that is what they've lost over the years, and that's what we try to bring back.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. So my last question is, who inspired you lately? So this is something I'm asking a lot on my Freedom Lifestyle Edition. And yeah, is there someone or something that really inspired you?
Oh my goodness, that's a great question. Who inspired me lately? I believe the Paul Jarvis book is really what inspired me a lot to kind of beat the drum of something different, something not mainstream, something away from the hustle. I think my kids definitely inspire me to step away from the rat race, step away from the hustle, and do the simple things, to let the messes be. It's very hard, but to let the messes be, to to let go, to surrender that control a lot. My kids definitely inspire me on that. And I would say my aunt is another person who inspires me. She's had a very freedom focused lifestyle. She's had a very present energy ever since I've known her. And I think she's always inspired me to question, to do things a little differently as well.
So good. Wow. Oh, thank you so much for all of this, for those great tips, for the insights into your business, and also, and most important, for sharing your story. And that's something I'm really, really grateful for, and I have a lot of respect for. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Kat. And I think, like we mentioned a little bit chatting before this, I think you've given voice to a lot of different ways for people to get back in touch with their own intuition, with their own inner compass. It seems like a lot of what your topics are on this amazing podcast come back to finding your own truth, your own grounding, your own inner compass. And that's been really helpful for me to listen to, and to know that there's another person out there who's advocating that and beating that drum no matter where you are in the world. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes. Appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you so much. I really hope you leave this conversation with refreshed motivation to follow your own unique voice, and don't play mainstream because that's what everyone does. These times we're in right now are really shaking us to finally follow our own path and passion. And I do believe we gotta change things to make our own lives better and this world a better place. Let us know what you liked most about this episode, what inspired you, what made you think. Write us an email or send us a message on Instagram. You'll find links to all of this in the show notes below, so just scroll down. And please also share this episode with a friend and on your social media. This is really the easiest way to support my podcast and to inspire new listeners. And I'm super, super thankful for that. I honestly can't stress it enough. This is crucial, and you doing that, you taking that minute to share this episode, means so much. So thank you for that. All right, so this is it for today. Stay well and healthy, and keep changing your world for the better.